We have a Gemara where the Gemara tells us that when we talk about reciting brachos, we are told, anyone who changes from the way that a bracha was instituted and the way that a bracha was supposed to be recited, lo yatza yidei chovaso, you have not fulfilled your obligation of reciting that bracha. So, how much of a deviation does one need to make? How much of a change does one need to have in order for the bracha to now become invalid? If I miss a word, if I say something differently than it's supposed to be pronounced, that already invalidates the bracha. The answer to that is no. So there are rules and regulations that govern this principle. When do we assume that a bracha becomes invalid because you have changed it from the way it was originally instituted? And when do we have the right to assume that even though it may have been changed a little bit, it's still considered to be a regular bracha? So, most obviously, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Kriya Shma, if you leave out the beginning or end of a bracha, you just say, Shahakol Niyevet Varo, and you leave out the whole beginning, which is the most important part. Obviously, that is not considered to be a bracha. Or let's say you say, Baruch Atah Hashem, and then you leave out Shahakol Niyevet Varo. Obviously, the Rambam says, that would surely be considered to be something that is Lo Yatza Yedei Chovaso. You have changed the crux of what the bracha is supposed to be, and you have not done what is supposed to be said. The Shulchan Aruch writes as well, what if you leave out the Shemu Malchus? What if I leave out, I just say, Baruch Atah Shahakol Niyevet Varo. If you leave out God's name, that's also the most important part of the sentence. Obviously, that would also invalidate that bracha. If you leave out a major theme, the Shulchan Aruch says, you leave out one of the most important parts of the bracha. Let's say in benching, we know the Gemara tells us you have to say in part of benching, bris, v'torah, you have to mention certain things. If you leave that out, it means that it's as if you have not benched at all. Or, finally, the last example is if a person, the Chayyadim writes, if a person recites a bracha and leaves out a word, the word in and of itself was not so important, but because you took out that word, now the whole structure of the sentence changes, and now it means something totally different. Obviously, that would not be considered a bracha either. Let's say, lo yeh lecha Elohim acherim al panai, right? That's a pasuk in Chumash. So let's say you leave out the first word, lo yeh, and then you say, yeh lecha Elohim acherim, it means you should go serve other gods. Obviously, that would take away the whole meaning of what the pasuk is all about. And the same would be in our context. If a person changes a bracha by taking out a word, even though it's only one word, but as a result of leaving that word out, the bracha now has a totally different understanding, you would not be able to perform the mitzvah in that way. The Shulchan Aruch does write, in two places, that if a person recites a bracha in the vernacular, even though, technically speaking, you're changing it, Chazal didn't institute the bracha in English or in French or Chinese, but because we have an idea that you're allowed to recite brachos in the vernacular, we assume that would not be considered to be a problem at all. Now, in general, when we mention the issue of brachos, there's a fascinating discussion that I once saw in the Sefer written by Reb Chaim Kanievsky. There are many svarim that are written based on the teachings of Reb Chaim Kanievsky, but there are some svarim that are actually written by him himself. And those svarim, you see his absolute genius. In the other svarim, what's amazing is the svarim that he himself wrote, where he really puts together a compilation like no one ever has on areas of Torah that no one else really has mastered before. So he has a whole sefer on Machzis HaShekel, and he has a whole sefer on Shrutzim, and he has a whole sefer that he wrote a whole set of svarim on Zrayim, on Trumas and Maestros, and things that nobody really has worked on in the comprehensive way that he has. So in his sefer on Hilchos Maaser, he writes the following. He says, you know, when you think about the mitzvah of Hafreshas Truma and Hafreshas Maaser, so very often we forget about that mitzvah here in America because it's really from the mitzvahs hatluyas ba'aretz. The only time we're reminded of the mitzvah is when Costco mistakenly sells Jaffa oranges and then the Vada Kashrus sends out an email that we have to be mafresh truma. But in Israel, this is something they deal with every day. So he writes, the Rishonim have a disagreement. Are you supposed to say lahafresh meiser or lahafresh meiser Rishon? Do you have to specify in your bracha that I am performing this very specific mitzvah, or do you just say a general category, lahafresh meiser? And he said the same thing applies when you're being mafresh truma. Do you say lahafresh truma, or do you say lahafresh trumas meiser? There are many different levels, categories of trumas and meisers that have to be separated. And the same goes by the mitzvah of challah. When one is mafresh challah, do you have to say lahafresh challah, or do you have to specify and say lahafresh challah min ha'isa, which is our practice today, but it's not clear. The Taz and many others discussed, how exactly do we understand it? So Reb Chaim Kanievsky here puts together so many different brachas, and he points out that there really is no clear formula that one can say, this is the way that brachas were instituted. For example, he writes, we have a mitzvah to make an Erev Tavshilin. Erev Tavshilin is when you have Yom Tov going into Shabbos, and we know you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov for the purpose of Shabbos, so we make an Erev Tavshilin. Erev Tavshilin is not the only Erev that a person has to make throughout the year. Sometimes you have to make an Erev Chatzeros, and sometimes you have to make an Erev Tchumen. So you have many different kinds of Erevin. And yet on all of these, we do not specify, we just say Al Mitzvahs Erev. Why don't we say Al Mitzvahs Erev Tavshilin? Why don't we say Al Mitzvahs Erev Chatzeres? Why don't we say Al Mitzvahs Erev Tchumen? We don't do that. We just say a very general bracha, which includes everything, which is Al Mitzvahs Erev. And yet, when it comes to Halakas Neiros, we know, you have to say Lahadik Ner Shal Shabbos, Lahadik Ner Shal Yom Tov, Lahadik Ner Shal Chanukah, Lahadik Ner Shal Yom HaKippurim. All of a sudden, here we find that one has to specify and say exactly why it is that you're lighting the candles. When we put on tefillin in the morning, we don't say La'aniach tefillin shal yad, or Al Mitzvahs tefillin shal rosh. We just say one general bracha that seems to encompass everything. And yet, when it comes to the mitzvah of pidyon, we have a pidyon aben, you say Al Mitzvahs pidyon aben. When you do a pidyon petach hamor, you have to say the specific mitzvah that you're performing, and when you do pidyon netar revah, you have to specify once again. When we have a tefillah, we have a mitzvah that you have to be tovel, a woman to become tahora from her yemei nida, a woman has to go to the mikvah. What does she say? She doesn't say Al Mitzvahs tefillahs tumas nida. She doesn't specify exactly what she's doing. It's the same bracha that is recited when a woman goes to the mikvah as when a ger goes to the mikvah and becomes a convert. We do not specify, and yet when we do tefillas kelim, we say al tefillas kelim. We don't say the general bracha. So he writes that this is something that's very difficult to really have a very clear formula. How did Chazal fit everything into a system? How did they figure out that at some points we have to specify and say exactly which mitzvah we're engaged in, and at which points do we say it's good enough if you just make a general heading about the overall mitzvah that you are performing? And he ends off and he says, kefi anira hakolafi ma shanira lechazal lesakin. Which is obviously the easiest answer to give, but it doesn't really help us have any guidance. It's basically up to Chazal. Whatever they figured out, b'chachmasam, in their great wisdom, whatever was the right thing according to their understanding, that's what we have. But that leaves us hanging as to how do we really figure out what the reason was for the institution and how it was set up. So the Gemara Maseches Sukkah Daf Mem Zayin has a very interesting story. Says the Gemara, Hayi lefanav mitzvos harbe. Let's say a person has a lot of mitzvahs that they're about to perform. For whatever reason, you come to a situation, you have a lot of things that you're about to do. So, Rabbi Yehuda says, you have to make a bracha on each and every mitzvah. Al kol achas va'achas bifnei atzma. A person has to say, la'aniach tefillin. Let's say I come in the morning. So I have to put on my tefillin, I have to put on my talis, and I have to do all kinds of different mitzvahs in the morning. And my tzitzis, so should I just say, Baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech ha'olam, al kol ha'mitzvahs? Shani Omed Laso, something like that. So the Tanakam and the Gemara says, yes, you have a right just to say one general heading, one general bracha, which is Asher Kedishanam and Mitzvos of Itzivanu Al HaMitzvos, and that encompasses everything you're about to do. And we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, I'm sorry?
Is it for an hour or for a day?
That's a fascinating question. It's fascinating because the Yerushalmi has about a dayan. So nowadays we're not so used to thinking about somebody who's specifically designated to be a dayan, and that's what they do throughout their life. Usually you have a rabbi who's doing other things, and when a din Torah comes up, they go judge the din Torah, they adjudicate the case. But the Yerushalmi says they used to have designated dayanim who woke up in the morning, went to daven, and then they went to work. And what was their work? They would sit there all day and answer people's questions, and that's what they would do. So the Yerushalmi says when they came in the morning, they would recite a bracha. The Yerushalmi doesn't say what bracha they said. So the Chasam Sofer and a tshuva, and Aruch Chaim, I forgot where it is, the Chasam Sofer writes that they, what bracha did they recite? So he says, it's obvious, they made a bracha, Asher Kedushan Mitzvos Tzivanu Al HaMitzvos, that I'm about to do 100 different mitzvahs throughout the day, because I have one mitzvah to listen to the two parties that come and give them both a fair chance at presenting their story. I have another mitzvah to paskin the din carefully and to say the truth the way I understand it. I have a mitzvah that I should make sure to sit down while I serve on the case, and they should stand. And there are a whole bunch of protocols that you're supposed to do when you adjudicate a case according to the Dine HaTorah. So he says, in his understanding, writes the Chasam Sofer, they used to say, Asher Kedushanam and Sosav and Tzivanu Al HaMitzvos, and that went for everything throughout the day. Ask the Chasam Sofer, what do you mean? But they're going to go for a lunch break in the middle of the day, and they're going to stop doing whatever they're doing. They're going to take a break at some point, so how long does it last? That's what he asks. So he writes, well, you can draw a parallelism from what we do in Berachas HaTorah. Every morning we recite Berachas HaTorah. What? So writes the Chasam Sofer, my job is a 9-to-5 job. I'm going to be in the office from early in the morning till 5 o'clock in the afternoon, writes the Chasam Sofer. Even though you're going to use the men's room in the middle of the day, and you're going to go out to have lunch in the middle of the day, and you're going to have a break here and a break there, and David Mincha and Ma'ariv and everything, still writes the Chasam Sofer, because we find the precedent by Birchas HaTorah, that even though a person makes a Birchas HaTorah in the morning, but then is distracted throughout the day, going to work and doing whatever you're doing, still the Birchas HaTorah works, because my understanding was that the Birchas HaTorah should include everything that I was planning to do throughout the day. So writes the Chasam Sofer exactly the point that you're mentioning. How far does that go? Either way, it's not really so relevant, because we generally paskin like the other opinion, and that is, every time one performs a mitzvah, they have to specify the bracha for that particular mitzvah. And therefore, we're told in Rashi, if I come on Sukkot morning and I have a mitzvah to sit in the sukkah and to shake the lulav and to wear my tefillin, which seems to be an indication that Rashi believes you have to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, by the way, Rabbi Akiva Eiger points it out. So Rashi says, if you have to sit in sukkah and shake lulav and put on tefillin and wear your talis, what are you supposed to do? So Rashi says, each one requires its own bracha, even though you're going to sit in the sukkah and shake the lulav and do everything in the same place. It doesn't matter. Still, each one requires its own bracha. The Tosefta writes as well, Hayam makriv zvachim Yerushalayim. Let's say you have somebody who is offering a carbon in Yerushalayim. Omer, what are you supposed to say? So you're a Kohen, you're on duty in the Beis HaMikdash, and you have a whole line of people that are about to offer karbanos. So he says you have to recite a bracha, Asher Kedushanu Mitzvosav Tzivanu, Lahakriv Zvachim. You have to make a bracha, I'm about to engage in the mitzvah of offering sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Acharonim ask, what do you mean? Don't we paskin that you have to specify the bracha? So when the first person walks up with the karban chatas, I should say, Asher Kedushanu Mitzvosav Tzivanu, Lahakriv karban chatas. Next person walks in and he brings a karban asham, you have to say a different bracha. Why is it good enough just to say that I'm Asher Kedushanu Mitzvosav Tzivanu, Lahakriv esas vachim? So the Acharonim answer very simply, because when you're talking about the case that Rashi gave, which was, it's Sukkot morning, and I have to sit in the sukkah, shake the lulav, put on tefillin, and wear a talis, those mitzvahs have no connection to one another. Each one is a mitzvah on its own. Therefore, each one requires a bracha on its own. But here we're referring to a general mitzvah that a kohen has. Your job is to sit in the Beis HaMikdash and to offer the karbanos of every Jew that comes in to give it to you. So therefore, you make one general bracha, which includes everything, Asher Kedushanu Mitzvosav Tzivanu, Lahakriv esas vachim. But when you're referring to something which has many different components, which is not connected at all, we assume that a separate bracha would be required for all of them. So I see we're close to the end of our time already, but what I'd like to touch upon is the following. So the Shulchan Aruch tells us that when you make an Erev Chatzeros, you're supposed to make a bracha al mitzvahs Erev. Now, we don't always make an Erev Chatzeros. We're more used to making an Erev Tavshilin. But every so often you do have to make an Erev Chatzeros. Let's say you're in a hotel for Shabbos and certain conditions require you to make an Erev Chatzeros, which you have to be aware of. So you have to make a bracha al mitzvahs Erev. So Rabbi Kiva Eiger and the Mishnah Brura discuss the following issue. What if a person on Erev Shabbos, on Erev Yom Tov, whatever it is, you have to make an Erev Tavshilin and an Erev Chatzeros and an Erev Tchumen? Yeah, got to make everything all at once. So even though each one of them requires its own bracha, but all the brachas are the same. Al mitzvahs Erev for one, al mitzvahs Erev for two, al mitzvahs Erev for three. So Rabbi Kiva Eiger writes, very simple. Just say al mitzvahs Erevin. Just make it into the plural, and that will cover everything. Shouldn't that work? And the Mishnah Berurah writes, it makes sense, that is working. But isn't that mishana mimatveya shetavu chachamim? Aren't you changing the original text in which the bracha was instituted? We were told to make a bracha al mitzvahs Erev when I make an Erev Tavshilin. You were also instructed to make a bracha al mitzvahs Erev when you have an Erev Chatzeros. Now that you just happen to have a circumstance where you have to make three Erevin all together in the same day, who said you have the right to make the bracha different than it was originally instituted? Who said you have a right to say al mitzvahs Erevin and now change it? So the answer to that is, that's not called Mishana Mimatvei HaShatav HaChacham. That's not changing the bracha. The bracha still means the same thing. You didn't change what the bracha starts with or ends with. The bracha still has the same meaning. All you're doing is you're saying it in the plural instead of the singular. Same as we find. Let's say you go put a kli into the mikveh. So you're going to do the mitzvah of Tvilas Kelim. So if you have one keli, it says on the big sign, you should make a bracha al Tvilas Keli. What? Kli. If you have many kelim, the sign says to say it in plural, al mitzvahs, al tvilas kelim. So how do you change it? The answer is, that's not mishana mimatvei HaShatav HaCham. You're not changing anything. It's the same thing, just it's in the plural instead of in the singular, the same way that Rabbi Kiva Eiger explains here. If you're going to say al mitzvahs eravin, it doesn't make a difference, which is why I was very surprised when I saw a comment a number of years ago that Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes. He says that he once had a situation where there were twins. In our parsha, we talk about twins, Yaakov and Esav. And the Medrash on our parsha writes about the bracha of Baruch Shaptarani, that when a child becomes an adult, you're supposed to recite some kind of bracha. The question is, what exactly is the nature of that bracha? What is the history of that bracha? And who really instituted it? Are we supposed to say B'Shem HaMalchus or not? It's a whole story in and of itself. But Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was of the opinion that you're supposed to say, like the Vilna Gaon writes, you're supposed to say that bracha with the Shema Malchus, which is the practice in many communities following the opinion of the Vilna Gaon. So Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach wrote that one year he had twins in the shul in Shari Chesed who came, and it was their bar mitzvah, and each one of them needed an aliyah. So the question was, does the father have to come up twice and make the bracha? Baruch Shem Tarani Me'on Shashal Zeh, then the next aliyah has to come back and make it for the second one? Or can he say, Baruch Shem Tarani Me'on Shashal Zeh V'shal Zeh? I can just add on, the same way we say, Al Tvilas Kelim, and I include everything. And over here the Mishnah Berurah writes, you can say, Al Mitzvahs Eruvin, which includes everything. So Reb Shlomo Zalman was wondering, does the father have to actually make the bracha twice? Or can he just change it a little and say, Baruch Shem Tarani Me'on Shashal Zeh V'shal Zeh? And you'll point at one, you point at the other, and that's good enough. So Reb Shlomo Zalman felt that is called Mishana Mimatvei HaShetav HaChacham. That's making a change to the bracha that is changing what the bracha was meant to be about. You're supposed to make the bracha on your child, now you're going to make it on two kids. He thought that was unacceptable and that was something that should not be done, which is a very surprising psak. I mentioned it to my father the other day. He also thought he didn't really see a distinction. Why shouldn't that be the same as saying in plural, Al Tvilas Kelim, or all the other things that we have, Al Mitzvahs Eruvin, or everything else where Chazal tell us you have a right to make it into the plural instead of in the singular, and yet over here, all of a sudden, when we come to the Baruch Shem Tarani, we have to worry about whether or not we're saying Me'on Shel Zeh V'Shel Zeh. Is that really going to be considered a Mishana Mimatvei? It's not really changing the understanding of the bracha at all. The understanding remains the same, just it's clear. I'm saying one for you and one for you, and therefore I can subsume both of them under one heading.